Wax 1070.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being with us on this gorgeous day. Well, Victoria has some great cycling trails, but what would it be like to have an awesome marine trail as well? View Royal Councillor John Rogers is teaming up with Brian Henry, owner of Ocean River Sports, to try to make that happen, and they both join me in studio this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Heck of a weekend for paddling.
Very nice.
Very nice out there. All right, let's get at this. John, tell us where the route goes. You brought a map in for me, and I was looking at it this morning. Explain to our listeners where you envision this route going.
Yes. Well, basically, it's simply circumnavigating Esquimalt and Vicwest. So one would go from Victoria Harbor, and depending on which direction you'd like to travel, let's say it would be up the Victoria Arm along the gorge, just past Quay Clara Bridge, around Shoreline Community School, and then portage into the Esquimalt Harbor. And if you like, you can paddle around the harbor there or go on up through Fiskar Lighthouse. You could go towards the Esquimalt Lagoon or back down in front of Victoria, wonderful Olympic Mountains on a sunny day like this, and back into Victoria Harbor.
How long is that portage?
It's about 22 kilometers.
Hello.
Sorry.
The portage is 22K?
Mm-hmm.
No. Portage.
The portage
less
section.
About a kilometer.
Yeah.
Okay, and now I'm in. 22K is it? Yeah. 21K
is
2 minutes.
Yes, the entire route is 22 kilometers, and that portage section is about 900 meters.
So easily doable.
It is.
Very much. It's best done if you bring a boat cart, if you have a kayak. And there is a very nice trail, which is the ENN trail that's just been completed. And that makes it all quite possible. I'd like to say Portage Inlet is named that for a reason. There's a portage there that First Nations used to use. And for us, it was just we paddle in the area, and it just makes so much sense to be able to go from one completely different environment of the protected gorge and the it's such a beautiful waterway through, and now you're out into more of the West Coast feel. You're into Esquimalt Harbor, and as soon as you get out to Fiskar Lighthouse, you're really truly out in the Straits, and you feel like you're more on the West Coast. So it's pretty interesting route.
CFAX listeners, what do you think of the idea of a marine trail? 250-386-1161. Star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. And TJ's put that question up on Facebook as well. Why do we actually need a designation as a trail? Why can't people just do it the way they can now?
Well, you can because we do it. And we know others that do it, but it's been very difficult. You have to go into a more sensitive area that was very mucky, and at low tides, it's challenging. We have a thing called Tillicum Narrows, which is not a very good place to go.
What's wrong with Tillicum Narrows?
Well, it's not a very good place to go if you've got rapids. They can be about 12-knot currents running through there. So it's a blockage for us, but that's kind of neat in its own way, that it means it's a little more challenging route. And I wouldn't tell everybody, hey, just rent a boat from us and go kayak up and do the circle route. You've really got to understand how to negotiate your way all the way up, because you have to time your current at the right time to be able to go through when it's not going to be moving too fast.
Mm-hmm. So you're not suggesting any changes there, though?
Well, there is a change where we're hoping what will happen. The first step, John, and you said we got together, and we didn't really get together. We were both thinking the same thing at the same time, and then we connected. The portage aspect, John was already working with Shoreline School in that mm-hmm. they have a lot of school groups that actually are doing a lot of canoeing. And they have a launch spot, which is not very suitable for them at this point. So the movement is for View Royal to be working to put in a landing spot, basically, and a little more formal that's not so mucky in order to allow that portage start to happen. And the other part is the Tillicum Narrows is to get a portage around there so that people can actually get out, portage their canoe around there or their kayak around there and do the route at no matter what the current's doing.
Yeah.
We have received an email from a woman named Dorothy who's very concerned about what this may well do to sensitive areas and birding areas. John, what do you say to those concerns?
Oh, you know, there certainly there are some valid issues and concerns there. Just recently, the Victoria Canoe Kayak Club has amended their bylaws to recognize that and tell their members that they should be staying out, for example, stay out of Colquitt's Creek for 6 months of the year when there are sensitive birding nesting aspects as well as the salmon runs going on. And we take the similar point of view with Crayflower Creek and Millstream Creek as well. So it is a matter of respect and ecological awareness and a balance. It doesn't mean that we should ban all boating north of Crayflower Bridge. Clearly, View Royal and Stannis residents, so they all have their docks and their kayaks, and they'd like to be in the inlet as well. But our route isn't about going into that inlet. It's about portaging through, like I've said in the map show, through to the Esquimalt Harbor and using that 22-kilometer route if they wish to do so. But no, we're working with the individuals. View Royal Council and staff are well aware of it, and staff will be putting up migratory bird signage along its shorelines and in the next month or so to be consistent with what Saanich and Esquimalt is doing.
How do you police that if somebody ignores the migratory bird signs and plunges in anyway?
Again, our group is we're promoting kayaking, stand-up boards, canoeists, and most of this, as Brian can say, is they're environmentally aware individuals anyway.
And it seems like the last sort that would want to wreck sensitive areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just the sheer volume of people, Brian. Let's bring you in. I mean, there are concerns that if the popularity of this increases and you establish, you know, the water version of the galloping goose, that, you know, you see more people doing it and potentially more run-ins with wildlife habitat and paddlers.
Do you know, I don't think it needs to be that way. You know, it's been said that we've tried to educate and it hasn't worked, but I think there's many countries in the world that have tried to educate and it hasn't worked, but we know the ones that do, it does work. I think that good signage, when people leave from our docks, and possibly we can work with every other kayak operator to make sure that they're aware, fully aware, that you don't approach wildlife. You observe it. And the more we observe it, the more we respect it. And the more we respect it, the more we can nurture it. So I think it's in an attitude, and I truly think that our clientele, they're in kayaks, not big power boats or jet skis, because they're that kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work.
John, what kind of concerns, the areas that we're talking about putting in ramps or landing places and the like, are those in ecologically sensitive areas?
I don't believe so. We've already had a marine biologist look at the location that VWL is intending to put a ramp in, and it's very benign. There's no eelgrass, there's no Olympia oysters. It's entirely reasonable, the biologist thinks, to locate the ramp at that location. And again, it's not only for this marine trail, but it's also for Shoreline School that has its Canoe Voyager program for its youth. It's highly successful. It really opens the children's eyes to the outdoors and to, again, ecological respect of what's going on there. But it's also for our fire department. We do not have an emergency access ramp in our area to go and assist anyone who's in trouble, or you know, if there's an oil spill, to be able to put out a boom really quickly. So the fire department has wanted to have this for a very long time, and we're now meeting a variety of different interests and needs. And when we did our Parks Master Plan review, and there's really been an interesting uptake from our residents saying that they do want to have access, boat access, to both the Esquimalt Harbor and Portage Inlet.
So would people with motorized boats be able to use that as well?
No.
Okay. Let's bring Kevin in. Good morning, Kevin. You're on CFAX.
Hi. From what I've heard, I'm completely on board with doing this. My only exception to it is if they need special ramps and docks and all this stuff, is that this is a group. They should be able to raise the money to put these things in place rather than going to the general taxpayer to say, you know what, can we do this for a specific group? I kind of look at it at the same as the clay courts that Sandwich was looking at. You know, that's for a specific group. Why should the taxpayer pay for that for a specific group? Now Bear Mountain, as a private industry, has said, you know what, we're going to step up to the plate. We'll take it on, and maybe we'll have tournaments in that. So as for this group, I'm sure they could do fundraising to facilitate their needs and that, and otherwise I'm all on for it. But, just don't go into my pocketbook anymore.
Thanks, Kevin. Now, Bureau Counselor John Rogers is smiling and waving, so you get to go first, John.
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm a counselor, and I really understand the issue of the taxpayers' limits and abilities to pay. It is indeed our intent to really have a strong fundraising project on this, and the reason Viewell Council is actually contributing $50,000 to this ramp is, as I say, because we recognize that it is a community amenity, and it's serving the Shoreline Schools program as well as being a facility for our emergency services group. So we feel is completely justified, but we understand that other municipalities, and there's not a great deal of work involved here, except for the Tillicum Narrows. That will be some significant fundraising, and we will take it on.
What's the total cost that you're looking at?
Not sure yet. It could be $200,000 to $300,000.
Okay, so you've got a good chunk of that, $50,000. When we come back, I'd like to hear some of the history of what was there before and what people were up to. I think it was the 1900s in that very area. We're with John Rogers, View Royal Counselor, and Brian Henry, owner of Ocean River Sports. We're talking about a marine trail. Stay with us.
Bringing you deeper into the story, Pamela McCaw on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the bid to create a marine trail. My guest this morning in studio, View Royal Counselor John Rogers and Brian Henry, owner of Ocean River Sports. Gentlemen, let's just reiterate here to our listeners as to the major component that would be necessary in order to make this a reality. Brian, let's go with you.
I guess it's the Tillicum Narrows. It's a tidal rapid, and it's very exciting. But you don't really want to be exciting when you're trying to paddle through. So it would be some kind of connection, probably with the dock on each side, so that the paddler can come in and actually portage their boat up to the other dock and put in where it's safe.
And this is just under the Tillicum Bridge.
Yes, that's correct.
What used to exist there back in the 1900s? Brian, you want to take that, or John?
I'll take that. And the Gorge Tillicum Association has fantastic, their website, their Facebook. They have about 70 images of the towpath that used to exist on the Sanit side for about 60 years. In 1960s, I think it came down. It had gone into disrepair, and they took it down when they had to rebuild the Tillicum Bridge for the sixth time. And but it was really effective for those folks that wanted to get up above the rapids. We've got images where people were on the towpath with their kayaks, and it was used to pull up the ships, and it was also a place where they could throw in life preservers in case somebody fell in.
Mm. Brian, what happens now when people get to the rapids? I mean, either you go for it, you know what you're doing, or that's the end of your journey?
Well, we came back, we did the circle route in the reverse. We had a meeting over at Fort Rod Hill, and they'd love to see a trail come to Fort Rod Hill. Yeah. And we think they're doing such an amazing job, and anybody who's not been Fort Rod Hill, go. But we knew the timing was wrong, but we said, well, let's go and let's have a better look. So we had about an 8.5 knot current with us. So it was a drop, probably 3 feet, and a big rock in the middle. And
you're in kayaks?
Yeah, we're in kayaks. But we're experienced, and my buddy Bruce and I, we pop through. But, gosh, I mean, I wouldn't send a novice through there. It can be pretty treacherous. So right now, we tell people that's the limit of where they should go. Because if you go up, it seems benign, and then the tide changes, And all of a sudden, what was benign an hour and a half before becomes quite a rapid.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And your gentle kayak ride turns into Niagara Falls.
You know, it's not a curse. It's magical.
Reality.
It's what makes it special.
If you can go for it, sure.
Yeah, it's what makes it special. But it does limit an ability of anyone to actually traverse and go up and explore a little bit more. And I think that there's not many cities in all of North America, I don't think there's any, that would have a water trail. This one touches on five different municipalities and loops all around back into our beautiful harbor. And Victoria has a harbor that's second to none. And I think having a water trail makes tons of sense.
John, I'm in my kayak. You guys have put in the ramp. You put in a couple of docks at Tillicum Bridge. And I want to get my kayak out and go around. Describe for me what that would look like and where I would end up at the end of the portage.
Conceptually, what we're thinking is that, again, with the tides going out and being 15 knots or whatever, so there would be a ramp on the east side, a boat ramp for and dock on the east side. A canoeist would, a kayaker would come up, take his boat out onto that dock, walk underneath the Tillicum Bridge, and then there would be another dock where they could simply walk the canoe kayak back into the water and off they go.
Right, okay. So are you lugging it uphill at some point?
No. If you go underneath the Tillicum Bridge, Esquimalt side has the has it all paved and accessible.
There could be a pub component to this. Brian Henry, owner of Ocean River Sports, has pointed out that there's some pubs along the way if you want to go and have lunch or drink.
Well, pub's kind of not really the best term if you're paddling, because it's not great to have a beer and then go paddling.
Well, you can have a Coke and a burger.
But, yeah, I mean, pubs are now restaurants, and they suit a whole bunch of different people. So you've got the Gorge Pub. Seems all the landmarks I talk about, most of them seem to be pubs. 4 Mile, we stop and we have a lunch there. If we do take a group up there, it's a fantastic place. You just stop, and it's that halfway point where you relax and you enjoy it. And then if you do paddle all the way up, you can go to 6 Mile. And there's Glow, which is another restaurant. And if everything can work out in the future, there's Canoe Brew Pub, which is fantastic. Can be, you know, so we're looking down the road and saying, well, wouldn't it be nice if we had more dinghy docks, which is small boat docks. People that commute to work sometimes come to our dock and we take care of their boat. We'd love to see more people actually transit by boat and have it as a trail, just like a bike trail.
The map that I'm looking at, should the sewage treatment plant go into McLaughlin Point, goes right by it. What's the word in the paddling community about the potential for that to happen? Waterside sewage treatment that is somewhat of a pristine area now. I believe it was an old gas plant, so it's not that pristine, but at least you're not going by a sewage treatment plant.
Well, the way I understand it is these are supposed to be state-of-the-art buildings, structures, and you'd never know what they are if you didn't understand what they are. We all paddle by Clover Point, and we know what they do. It pumps sewage out. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with sewage. We can't predict. We don't think that it's going to be polluting our shorelines. And as a result, I don't see it's going to be a huge issue.
No, I don't think so either. No.
John, what do you have to do now to push this project forward? What's your next step in terms of, you got $50,000 from View Royal. Where do you head from here, and who do you have to win over in terms of environmentalists concerned about environmentally sensitive areas and bird habitat?
Yes. We've been working with very hard with Jacques Soua, thank you. And he's a very enthusiastic and wonderful gentleman. And he understands the aspects of having a balance so that people are aware and respect and keep their distance from nesting birds that have migratory flown in from into the Portage Inlet there. So it's really about respect and balance, and illustrating that we will be promoting that and making sure that through whatever means, if it's going to be through a business or through any of the clubs like the South Island Kayakers, the Victoria Canoe Kayak Club, all these different groups, and everyone's working together and being respectful of not disturbing the wildlife.
My understanding is that Go Rowing had to move their rowing and paddling business out of Esquimalt Lagoon because of the impact the boats had.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And
I read a report from James Clowater, who is a paddler, great guy, and it was a very interesting report, and Dorothy actually forwarded it to us, Dorothy who wrote the email. She's bringing up some great points. And you know, I looked at that, and it seemed to be coach boats. It seemed to be the long turning radius. It seemed to be the group tours that were very big. And in his report, he specifically said the individual kayakers had the least impact. And so we don't think that we're ever going to have large groups. We don't think that we're ever going to have coach boats running beside the other boats. So I think, you know, it's taught us to start to learn more and more about where we have impact and where we don't, and where we can modify our actions and educate.
Would you advocate for regulations to ensure that those things didn't happen? Because my sense is that to open up this wonderful trail, a lot more people are going to use it, so you get increased volume and potentially tours and potentially boats that are, you know, disturbing things.
I really don't think that we're going to need to go that far in terms of regulations. I think it is an aspect of awareness and education and the appropriate place signage, so that when people are canoeing and kayaking, they understand that it could be in a sensitive area. This route is not for those long rowers. This is a route for the kayakers, stand-up boarders, canoeists, and you know, where they indeed, you know, respect the environment, and we will certainly let them know that you don't go up the sensitive creeks and Colquitts and Crayflower.
So it might be better than it is now because more people know. When do you envision this coming through? When do you envision having this portage in place?
Well, that portage is a work in progress, but I think the good news is that we have now completed the western portage. You know, when we did get that ramp in, the western portion is done, and you know, historically we've been, this goes way back to 1860, and it was a report in to Saanich that it commissioned in 1970 about the whole idea of this portage ability, and now 40 years later, this route is done, and I think what we're trying to do is let individuals know, kayakers, when they paddle around, you know, where can I pop in, where can I use a washroom or get a drink of water, or where can I go to a restaurant.
This is really exciting. I wish we had more time. I think it sounds like a whole lot of fun.
It is.
And I wish you well, and as long as the environmental concerns are thoroughly addressed.
Oh,
thanks,
yes,
to John Rogers, View Royal Counselor, and Brian Henry, owner of Ocean River Sports. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Pamela.
Coming up in news, a new study suggests a lot of people have the wrong idea about the term palliative care. James Gardner's next.